I'm not comparing what happened in Gaza to the Holocaust. No, I'm not. I'm repeating again right now. I am not comparing the two, but I'm saying that what has happened in Gaza and continues to happen in Palestinian territories are Nazi-like tactics. I'm not saying it to full scale. Nazi-like tactics. Rounding people up, putting them in ghettos, concentration camp style, besieging an entire people, collective punishment, holding all Jews responsible for the actions of something else. They said never again. That should apply for all people all time.
Jack Ross is a member of AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, a hawkish pro-Israel lobbying body, but spoke only for himself. Ross and some members of the audience called Badir out on the comparison with Germany.
Truly, and I know he tried to tell you that it was only Nazi-like behavior, but the systemic annihilation of a race and comparing it to what happened in Gaza is outrageous.
I agree.
And the paradox of calling Israel the most powerful military in the region and then saying it carpet-bombed Gaza, yet Gaza stands today, it doesn't line up.
Israeli historian Ilan Pape has called Israel's 1948 war and the intervening 60-plus years the ethnic cleansing of Palestine, citing documents by the founders of the Jewish state whose goal was to make the Palestinians an ethnic minority in historic Palestine. The two speakers differed on who started the most recent violence, which continues despite a ceasefire.
What was the Palestinian grievance when the last Jew left Gaza? Was it occupation? It couldn't be. Was it settlers? Was it military rule? They were gone. No, it was Israel's existence. And understand it, it was only Israel's existence.
Israel and Hamas agreed to a 6-month ceasefire in June of last year. During that time, homemade shells were fired by militants within the Gaza Strip into Israel, and the Israeli military made incursions into Gaza. The ceasefire essentially dissolved after an incursion by Israel on November 4th, which largely went unnoticed in the United States because it was on the day Barack Obama was elected president. The next month, Israel began a full-scale land, air, and sea barrage known as Operation Cast Lead.
However, what happened in Gaza has been an escalation and in the making for many years since the start of the Israeli nation. For years now, the state of Israel has habitually and consistently used violence to get its way. Instead of using dialogue, instead of using compromise, using violence. Why? Because they're the region's superpower. They're the most powerful military nation in the Middle East.
On their website, the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem says that their findings raise, quote, grave suspicions that Israeli soldiers and commanders breached international humanitarian law. These suspicions relate not only to the conduct of individual soldiers, but primarily to questions of policy. The extent of the harm to the Gaza civilian population from the recent operation is unprecedented, end quote. But Ross says the actions of Israel were justified.
We said it in the press here in Tampa, and it was said across the world. If the rocket stopped, there would be no action. After 3 years, a state has a legitimate right under international law to proportional self-defense. After 10,000 rockets in 3 years, we see a proportional legal action. And also understand there's no moral parity between these two entities. The state of Israel, using proportional legitimate self-defense, responded to unprovoked missile fire against its citizens.
When both panelists were asked for a real solution to the conflict, Badir says there could be peace if Israel stopped killing civilians, then Palestinians wouldn't respond. Ross says there could be peace when Israel has a negotiating partner in Palestine who can deliver peace. Most questions from the audience were directed at Badir, who said that suicide bombing and killing civilians is wrong.
Absolutely wrong, absolutely terrorist, absolutely condemnable, not commendable, sorry, condemnable. There's no justification for it from a humanity standpoint, from an Islamic standpoint, from a Palestinian standpoint. And all those suicide bombings have only set them back. It's un-Islamic. I will never support anything like that, no matter how much. And I sympathize with the suffering of the Palestinians. I'd rather die before going out and killing somebody else's innocent kids. And however, we should look at the way to reduce that is not more violence. Violence begets violence.
Palestinians need their rights and need to have hope, Badir says. WMNF spoke with several people before and after the discussion and found pessimism mixed with blame placed on either side.
A perpetually very difficult situation that is likely to be unresolved anytime. It's unlikely to be resolved anytime in the near future.
I'd like to hear and see the outrage in the Muslim community over the targeting, not collateral, but the targeting of civilians and all that results from that.
The only reason Israel can be the bully over there is because of the money that we give them all the time, and that's made them very militarily strong. There's a UN resolution, I believe, telling them to move out of those occupied territories, which they have ignored.
Well, I just read in the paper this morning that it's a most likely probability that Netanyahu will be the winner, which I think is too bad, because from what I know of him, he's not the kind of man that I think Israel really wants and needs. I don't see anything good coming out of that.
It's a near insoluble problem, but rocketing cannot continue in a civilized society. That's just not a way a civilized society can live, and a government has to do what it can do to protect its citizens. Whether this was productive or counterproductive is a fair question to raise.